listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skulls in a pool of cerebral spinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Didn't history already happen? Part 1. What history is, and why we study it, for life in general and in the martial arts. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm obsessed with history. They would also know that I'm a student of the legendary martial arts instructor, Dan Inosanto. I just had Mr. Inosanto to my academy for a seminar last weekend, and at the age of 81, he shows no signs of slowing down. There are, of course, many very cool aspects of training under him, and one of my favorites is that he frequently injects juicy little history lessons into his instruction. He often states that to understand a martial arts style, you need to understand the culture from which it came, and to understand the culture, you need to understand its history. Well said. One fine day, I was driving home from having attended a seminar taught by Mr. Inosanto, when I asked the student who had accompanied me what he thought of the experience. His reply was something like, "It was really good. I just wish he wouldn't waste our time telling us about the history." The sound of my jaw dropping was almost surely audible. "Are you serious?" I asked. "I love it when he does that. Why don't you like it?" "Well, I didn't like being made to study history when I was in school, and I don't like it now. What happened before I was born has no interest for me." Now, if you know me, you can imagine how the conversation went from there. We argued this point for the rest of the 3-hour drive home, and then sat in the car in front of my academy to continue the debate for more hours afterwards, until the sun came up. I tried with no luck to impress upon him the importance of understanding the past, and he tried to impress upon me that such knowledge has no value. I attempted to relate it to personal experience. If you burn your hand on a hot stove, don't you want to remember it so you're less likely to do it again? "Of course," he said. "Well, that's history," I asserted. "If you don't remember your mistakes, you'll make them again." "Yeah, but how does studying ancient Rome teach me anything like not to touch a hot stove?" "Well," I replied, "all kinds of lessons can be learned from the past. The most basic example is that knowing your history helps inform your decisions when you vote." "You do vote, don't you?" His disturbing reply was, "No. My one little vote doesn't mean anything, so I never do." There are so many things wrong with that assertion that at that point, not wanting to open up a whole new can of worms, I gave up. But I won't give up on you, dear listener. First of all, you need to know that history is way more than just memorizing names and dates. If that's all you think it is, no wonder you find it boring. Do you like a well-written science fiction story? If you do, well, history is, in a way, just the same thing. In reverse. Science fiction usually goes forward on the timeline from the present. And when it's done well, it abounds with fascinating characters, technological advances, the struggle against hidebound orthodoxy, and the potential of revolutionary new philosophies. History has all of those things as well, but going backwards on the timeline. Just because your teachers didn't make history interesting is no reason to deny yourself the joy of learning it. One common misconception is that we already know all of history. That's the inspiration for the title of this series of episodes. Didn't history already happen? By that I mean that many people seem to think that we already know everything about the past, that all that ever happened is written down somewhere in a big authoritative book, and that it's perfectly accurate and accessible. There's no need to study what you can just look up on Wikipedia, right? Most of history still remains to be discovered. For example, how about your own family history? Quick, tell me the name of one of your great-great-great-grandparents. Many, if not most of us, couldn't do even that, or even quickly look it up to find out. Written history is a hugely important source, or more accurately, set of sources, but it's not without its flaws. It only goes back about 5,000 years, and that far back only for parts of Egypt and Mesopotamia, which we now call Iraq. Some parts of the world only started using writing in the last few centuries. The written history of the martial arts is especially spotty. I suspect this is because, for most of the last 5,000 years, the Venn diagram showing the group of those who understand fighting and the group of those who understand writing reveals very little overlap. Or, in other words, I suspect that the tension between nerds and jocks goes way back. But weirdos from that small overlap, and I hope to be counted as one of them, have cropped up now and then to leave us a few written tidbits. Getting back to history in general, even with what written accounts we do have, each person who wrote the records of the past was a flawed human, with an imperfect human brain, serving their own agenda, and as prone as you or I are to cognitive biases and logical fallacies. Unfortunately, I'm sure this is equally true of those few who documented martial arts history. This very human failing has resulted in a body of written records, in martial arts history and in history in general, that is full of exaggerations, omissions, propaganda, and outright bullshit, usually fashioned to depict the country, culture, or political party of the historian in a positive light, and rival ones negatively. Then, later generations copy this twisted story and repackage it. By the way, the same thing goes on today. When you research a subject on the internet, it's amazing how many sites say the same thing on the subject as each other, word for word. Cutting and pasting, in one form or another, has been going on since writing began. That's where the genius of the trained historian comes in. They seek out primary sources. That's fancy historiography talk for the earliest written account. And compare that to information from primary sources from other contemporary cultures to see where accounts agree or disagree. Just like a detective comparing the stories of various witnesses and suspects, the historian gradually works towards a narrative that is the closest approximation possible of what actually happened. In this way, the study of history is much like the study of science, slowly but steadily marching in tiny increments towards the truth. Fortunately, though, we have avenues other than the written records for learning about history. I just compared the work of historians to that of scientists. Well, it turns out that science makes a huge number of contributions to our search for an understanding of the human past. But that story must wait for part two of this series. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or about the Rising Phoenix Academy at my website, rpmartialarts.com.